This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pender, founder of Her Women's Health, and I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey.
All right, guys, welcome. Let's dive in. Today, I'm going to be talking all about why breathing exercises are so beneficial in pregnancy. So, did you know that your breathing pattern can affect your pelvic floor, your digestion, and your stress levels? In my opinion, the breath is the most underprescribed, underrated treatment modality. And this is because it's free and because it can't be sold by pharmaceutical companies. So not a lot of money is in the breath and not a lot, therefore, of research or marketing has gone into it. But if we look at a lot of ancient wisdom, if we look at traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, both of these ancient practices really emphasize the foundation and the importance of our breath. Now, as a women's health physio, I see firsthand the importance of the breath, because when you're not breathing properly, the pelvic floor is much more likely to become overactive. So the diaphragm, and I want you to visualize this in your own body, it's like a mushroom cap and it sits underneath your ribs. And this is our respiratory muscle. So much like the heart muscle, which is designed to pump all day long, all night long, this is an aerobic muscle designed to work 24/7 nonstop. Much like the diaphragm is designed to contract and push down, this dome-shaped muscle flatten. And what this does is it creates a pump-like action. So this movement from a dome pressing down and flattening out and then recoiling creates a pump-like action, which I visualize like a coffee plunger down on our pelvic and abdominal organs. And what this does is it helps with gut motility. So it helps to pump food through our small and large intestine. It helps to gently massage the liver, helping with toxin excretion, but it also has a very close connection fascially with our pelvic floor. So when we inhale and the diaphragm descends, the pelvic floor gently stretches. And when we exhale, the pelvic floor recoils and the diaphragm recoils. And what this does is it keeps our pelvic floor in a happy, healthy state, almost like it's being massaged all day long, moving gently as we inhale and exhale. However, most of us these days fall into poor breathing habits and start to breathe into our upper chest. And this can be due to fear or stress. It can also be years of holding the tummy in out of self-consciousness or fear of pain or stress. And this is causing us to breathe into our upper chest. And what happens then is the muscles in our neck and shoulders, which aren't designed to work all of the time, they're designed to stabilize and to lift things, are now working almost nonstop to help you breathe. So that's a large cause of neck tension, tightness in the upper shoulders. And what this means is we're not getting the pump-like action in our abdominal organs. So it's going to slow down our gut motility, our digestion. It means that the pelvic floor is not being gently massaged through the day. So it gets held in this constant state of contraction. And so almost every single woman that I see and treat with an overactive or hypertonic pelvic floor is without a doubt an upper chest or reverse chest breather, meaning that they're breathing into their upper chest, and that when they're inhaling, rather than the belly expanding as the diaphragm descends, the belly is drawing in and the diaphragm is lifting up. So it's a reverse to what should be happening. And this means, as I said, that the pelvic floor isn't getting this gentle, rhythmical movement and leads to an increase in pelvic floor tone. What it also does is it signals our nervous system. It signals to the brain to say that we need to stay in a stress response. So it increases cortisol production. It puts us into this sympathetic drive, increasing blood pressure, heart rate, and cortisol. And this is a primal strategy that we've developed to help us survive, say, if we were running away from a saber-toothed tiger. However, this is not such a good strategy if we're just, say, responding to stressful work emails. So really important to understand how close the connection is from our nervous system to our breath. There is a direct link, and it is one of the quickest ways to change our state, especially the state of our nervous system, is through our breath. And they both affect each other. So if we start to breathe shallow into our upper chest, it signals to the brain that we're trying to conserve energy, that we're trying to get more oxygen, that we're trying to run away from a saber-toothed tiger, or that we're in danger, threat. And that's going to keep us in this adrenal response. We're going to increase adrenaline, cortisol, and try and flee from this dangerous situation. However, when it comes to long-term stress, this is not so useful. It also happens in reverse. So if we are already stressed, then our body will have this adaptive response and we will automatically start breathing into our upper chest. And because as women, we are often holding tension around our tummy, it can be very hard to change this breathing pattern, but so, so important. So when we are using our relaxed breathing, our diaphragmatic breath, the belly should rise away from the spine when the diaphragm descends as we inhale. And then as we exhale and the diaphragm recoils, the belly should gently draw back in towards our spine. And this diaphragmatic breathing helps to put our nervous system into a relaxed state. So it actually signals the nervous system to keep us calm, to keep us in a parasympathetic response, which is our restful state, telling the brain that we are safe. It also promotes this healthy balance of the pelvic floor, because as we're breathing, we're getting this contraction and relaxation of the pelvic floor. And as I said, it helps with gut motility and digestion. So if we think about how this applies to the pregnant woman, so managing stress is very important, especially as baby grows and the movement of the diaphragm can become a little more restricted. But when we're breathing down into the diaphragm, it's signaling to the brain to keep us in this calm response. As soon as we start to breathe into our upper chest, again, it signals to the brain to keep us in a stress response. It also increases, as I said, the tone in the pelvic floor. So if we're always breathing into our upper chest, that's going to signal to the pelvic floor to keep contracted, because we're not getting that relaxation as we inhale. So if this is happening in pregnancy, it means that the pelvic floor is not going to be functioning optimally, because the pelvic floor is not getting that state of relaxation and contraction. If the pelvic floor is always in this permanent state of contraction, then it becomes very fatigued and doesn't work like it's meant to. So imagine if I was to give you a little 1 kilo dumbbell and I said, hold this little dumbbell above your head for as long as you possibly can. And you're holding it up and an hour passed and then 2 hours passed. And by 2 hours, you're just like, I can't do this anymore. My arm is so fatigued. So then I am there and I say, hey, do you mind lifting this bag of groceries? And this ordinary, very easy, mundane task all of a sudden becomes seemingly impossible because your arm muscles are so fatigued. So if the pelvic floor is already in this state of contraction, because we're breathing into our upper chest and we're never getting that relaxation, it's going to become fatigued, and then it's not going to be able to perform easy tasks like contracting to maintain continence when you do cough or sneeze. And if the pelvic floor keeps becoming overactive, say in pregnancy, that can lead to increasing pain during intercourse, but increased risk of birth trauma and perineal tears. So this is all just coming back to that breath and coming back to the close connection that we really need to start understanding between our respiratory diaphragm and our pelvic floor. So if you are breathing properly, you are doing yourself so many favors for your pelvic floor to maintain that optimal healthy state of balance, in reducing your stress levels, because as I said, breathing into the belly signals to the brain to keep us in a relaxed state. And you're also going to help with digestion and gut motility, which is really important because constipation is so prevalent during pregnancy and things like hemorrhoids can occur. So it can be really helpful to make sure that you are breathing properly, especially on the toilet when you are emptying your bowels, because in order to empty your bowels properly, we need the pelvic floor to be able to relax. And we need the breath, as I said, imagining this coffee plunger effect, to descend and press down, which is going to relax the pelvic floor and allow you to easily pass a bowel motion without straining, which is our number one cause of hemorrhoids in pregnancy. So this is three main foundational reasons. As I said, the first is decreasing stress levels when we're breathing into the belly. The second is improving the tone and state of your pelvic floor. The third is improving gut motility and digestion. And then it comes down to specific breath techniques. So first thing is to, if you are noticing that you're an upper chest breather and that you tend to breathe into your upper chest and that the belly doesn't tend to move first and foremost when you're breathing, it's taking time to learn how to retrain your breath, which can take time, and checking in throughout the day. So it's not enough to simply go to one yoga class and breathe properly for 10 minutes. If the entire rest of your week is spent in overdrive and in stress and we're breathing into the upper chest. So checking in throughout the day can be really beneficial. Checking in to see, am I breathing into my chest? Am I breathing into my belly? And that can be as simple as placing one hand on your heart and one hand on the belly and just noticing where your breath tends to travel. This is a really good place to start. The next thing that you can do is start to dive more deeply into the sensations in your physical body and start to notice this gentle stretching and recoiling of the pelvic floor, and see if you can, especially in open yoga positions, hip openers, such as butterfly position or a happy baby pose, or even a wide-legged child's pose in pregnancy, see if you can notice this very gentle and subtle stretching and recoiling of the pelvic floor. Another way you can observe it is just by gently placing the palm on your perineum and just noticing when you do breathe down into the belly, the hand gently move away and then gently recoil. If we dive further into more breath techniques, so once we've learned the foundations of our diaphragmatic breath, we can start to really use the breath to control our nervous system. And this is what yoga teaches us in our pranayama techniques. So one of the quickest ways to calm this nervous system, and this is a great one to learn and practice in preparation for birth, as it can be a very effective natural pain relief strategy to use during labor, is lengthening the length of your exhale. So ideally, if you can inhale for say a count of four and double the length of your exhale, so that might be exhaling for a count of eight. This is something that we really commonly prescribe pregnant women to focus on lengthening the exhale breath. And it is also a technique that I was taught when I did my free dive training, because it is the fastest way to drop into our parasympathetic nervous system and to create that relaxation, that parasympathetic nervous system response, that rest and digest, to lower the heart rate, lower our blood pressure, and lower the requirements to be able to go down, dive deep on a single breath. This can be a really helpful technique. Once we have practiced our diaphragmatic breath and really understood how to properly breathe, checking in through the day, because as I said, there is no point in learning all of these fancy techniques if you are spending majority of your week in overdrive, in a stress response. So really important to learn how to properly breathe into the diaphragm, and then you can start to learn these techniques like doubling the length of your exhale. And the one other technique that I'll talk about briefly is our Nadi Shodhan, which is our internostal breathing. Now, this is a really good way to calm the nervous system because we're slowly inhaling through one side and slowly exhaling through one side. If you are someone whose mind can be very busy, then this can be a really great one to allow the mind to calm, because we're focusing on the breath coming in through one nostril and there's a lot of attention required. This can also be a great way to balance the hormones because it balances the left and right hemispheres of the brain. So in traditional yoga, and if we look at the anatomy of our respiratory system from a yogic philosophy, all our sinuses and our nasal passages connect up, and when we inhale through one side, it connects to the opposite hemisphere of the brain. And Western research now is just slowly starting to understand this, and it's something that I have started to see reported more and more. So James Nestor has a book called Breath, and he talks a little bit about this phenomenon of the impact of the sides of the nostril that we're breathing in. I also recently, I was at a yoga seminar, and the instructor said that he had had a student who was in a severe depression and wasn't able to shake it. And it had started to occur after a car accident where he'd had quite a lot of facial trauma. Anyway, he tried a lot of things, and eventually the yoga teacher started to look at the effect of his breathing and noticed that he was predominantly breathing in just through his right nostril. And this was triggering this dominance in his parasympathetic, so putting him to more of a almost too restful state that was putting him into a depression. And the opposite was true from another client that was quite anxious, and he turned out to be breathing predominantly just through the left side. In some studies in James Nestor's book, he talks about a group of clients with schizophrenia and all of them seeming to only breathe in through the left side. So that's a really interesting observation, but it really emphasizes that depending on the nostril that we breathe into, it puts us either into more of a sympathetic or a parasympathetic response and activates our hemisphere, either the right or left hemisphere of the brain. And in doing a Nadi Shodhan, which is our internostral breathing, we're aiming to balance the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system and the two hemispheres of the brain, which helps to regulate our hormones, which is to do with the pineal gland, which is the gland that connects the right and left hemispheres. So this is another really great technique that we can use in pregnancy. So as a summary, breathing exercises are so beneficial in pregnancy. One, because the breath directly impacts our nervous system. When we're breathing into our upper chest, it stimulates to the brain to keep us in a stress response. However, when we start to breathe into our belly, it stimulates to the brain to bring us down into more of a relaxed state. When we're breathing into our upper chest, secondly, the pelvic floor becomes overactive because it's not being massaged gently all day long by the diaphragm. And so this creates an overactivity in the pelvic floor, which then begins to not function optimally and can result in some leakage or dysfunction during pregnancy, whether it's pelvic girdle pain or SPD, or even, as I said earlier, increasing risk of perineal tears or birth trauma. And then third is the impact on our digestive health. So being able to properly relax the pelvic floor and this gentle pump-like action of our diaphragm helps with gut motility and helps prevent constipation and hemorrhoids during pregnancy. So all great reasons why you should be learning breath techniques in pregnancy. As I said, first step is to learn how to breathe properly. Second step can be learning some more complex pranayama techniques like slowing down the exhale breath. So inhaling for 3 or 4 counts and exhaling for 6 to 8 counts. And then the next step step is our Nadi Shodhana, our internostal breathing, so allowing us to balance the right and left hemispheres of the brain. All right, so I hope you guys have taken something out of tonight's live. If you do have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out with a DM. I am on Instagram or even a Facebook message. All right, have a lovely evening.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.